Now you can enjoy MLB Play, the one app with all your favorite free MLB games. Enjoy Beat the Streak, Quick Pick, and more. Enjoy competing against friends. Enjoy unlocking exclusive rewards. Plus, your chance to win $5.6 million. Download MLB Play. Enjoy the app. Enjoy the show. MLB Play. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older to enter Beat the Streak, which ends at the conclusion of the MLB regular season or when the grand prize is won. Restrictions apply. See MLB.com/play for official rules.
Get into all the Major League Baseball action with Season 2 of Play Loud, exclusively on the MLB YouTube channel. Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the game on the field and in the dugout during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Follow along and be part of the fun alongside some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season.
That is out of the ballpark!
Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto in the field or listen in on the hilarious conversation between Eduardo Escobar and Francisco Lindor in the dugout. Tune in for live reactions from players across the league with unprecedented access. Play Loud is your exclusive look into the fun of the game. You never know what you're going to see or hear. Play Loud. It's baseball like you've never watched before. Tune in for new episodes of Play Loud, only on the MLB YouTube channel.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If only we could induct people into the After Hours Hall of Fame for video. Now, this is an audio medium, obviously, and we do a pretty damn good job giving you images and emotions and covering the headlines and the storylines with the audio. We pride ourselves on mixing in as many voices and descriptions and reactions as we possibly can. Love our play-by-play here on the show. But there is no play-by-play for what Ken Dorsey did after the Bills ran out of time on the final play in their loss against the Dolphins. He's the new offensive coordinator. Remember when there were questions about his play calling? Yeah, I don't think that's top of mind with Ken Dorsey right now. After the Bills failed to get out of bounds and stop the clock, so Josh Allen finding Isaiah McKenzie, he maybe thought he got out of bounds. He says he was trying to get out of bounds, but he was also trying to get yards. And then he thought, okay, there's 9 seconds to go. Maybe I should get on the hash for our kicker, Tyler Bass. He just had a bazillion thoughts going through his head, and ultimately his indecision cost him. He was going for more yards. He was looking for the hash. Then he couldn't get out of bounds. He said he kind of got bumped by going to the ref and just never was able to get back to the line. And so, of course, in hindsight, McKenzie says, I should have just gone upfield, gotten down, put it on the hash, and get back to my teammates. Now, this wasn't the reason that the Bills lost. They had a couple of other opportunities. I think Matt Milano may have dropped a possible pick six in this game. As I mentioned, they had a fourth down opportunity to score on the 2-yard line, and it was just a bad pass by Josh Allen at the feet of McKenzie. So there were plenty of moments that the Bills would like to have back. But after time expires on their last-ditch effort, the camera goes up to Ken Dorsey. Well, there's always cameras on the box, the offensive box. And Dorsey goes ballistic. He takes off his headset. He slams it down. He grabs tablets a la Tom Brady. He throws tablets. He throws paper. And then someone else, not Dorsey, while Dorsey's having his temper tantrum, someone else slides his palm across the camera. I think that might be my best part, my favorite part, is that there's somebody else out there looking for the camera, figuring out that Dorsey is going to be on camera while he's throwing a fit. And so someone else covers up the camera, covers up the lens, but not before we see headset, hat, tablet, papers, all become victims, innocent victims of Ken Dorsey. mean, Josh Allen threw a helmet, or slammed a helmet down, I should say. Everybody was pretty frustrated. And then the fact that the Bills were having to deal with so many different guys, cramps and dehydration and IVs and fluids necessary. There were multiple starters out. They didn't have either Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer. I think Hyde's out for the season. Poyer was out for the game. It was a war of attrition, but the heat and the dehydration didn't help. And so the fact that the Bills were still in it at the end, I suppose there's something to be said for that. But man, you go 17 plays, 8.5 minutes, you wear your team completely out and you fail to score. That's brutal. And all that frustration boils over as Ken Dorsey goes ballistic in the offensive coaching box. It is pretty funny. If you haven't seen the video, it's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as the butt punt. Those were Tyreek Hill's words. The butt punt. It was more like butt interference, really. But we got to hear more about Trent Sherfield's butt cheeks than we ever thought was necessary.
I've never seen a butt pump.
Yeah, TMI. I mean, this is what happens in football, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. All right, so just to reset, let you hear what it sounded like on the Dolphins Radio Network. It was, yet again, a dramatic finish for Miami, one of the NFL's only 3-0 teams.
Second and 20, 18 seconds left. Allen, he goes down. Oh, he gets back up and tosses it to McKenzie, who's trying to get to the sideline, has to cut it back in and is tackled inbounds with 7 seconds left. Ingram, the tackle.
They're not going to get this off.
3, 2, 1. It's
they didn't
over.
Get it done.
It's over. Miami wins it. 21-19.
Could not get on the ball in time. That's going to do it. How about the effort of the Miami Dolphins defense today? Wow, what a stop.
I think we rallied, and you really look at it. The defense came through, and it kind of tells a picture story of what our team is capable of. It's not just our offense being able to help win a game, but it's the defense as well, and we've seen that today with their performance.
So for Tua, maybe the numbers aren't glamorous and glorious. He's 13 of 18 for 186 yards and a score, but the defense does its job, and the Dolphins are able to hang on and win. Now, against the Ravens, they rallied, and it was fast and loose and speed and offense and up and down the field, completely different feel than this game against the Bills. But man, if you're the Dolphins under a brand new head coach and you're trying to figure out how to win, how to take advantage, how to capitalize, it helps if you have the right attitude. And what I've noticed about the Dolphins is they're tough. They're stubborn as heck. And they do not care if you think they aren't for real. In fact, that just adds to the chip. And to get this victory over the Bills, it may be week 3. It doesn't give anybody the AFC East title. I don't even think it matters for bragging rights. This is still the Bills division to lose. However, for Miami to get this victory goes a long way. And the way they did it, again, special teams, in spite of a butt pump, the defense, and the run game, a couple of Chase Edmonds touchdowns. The sign of a really good team is one that can beat you a variety of ways. And we've just seen that with the Dolphins in back-to-back weeks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mike McDaniel, he has a unique way of expressing himself.
It's a great, great experience for guys. I'm happy that they were able to come out with the win because they definitely did everything in their power to get that done.
for the Buffalo Bills. We'd seen them dominate in the first 2 weeks. In this game, Josh Allen was under siege a little more. 4 sacks officially. He did have the sack and fumble earlier in the game. He threw for 400 yards, but he threw 63 times. That's wow. In that heat, the amount of time that the Bills were on the field, they did have a couple of touchdowns, but both early. It was a lot of work and not a lot of production. A lot of work and not a lot of results. And so this one, no doubt, stings. And I've seen some of you say, too, that the Bills should be the most mortified on Monday. I'm not sure I agree with that, but it definitely hurts.
We really beat ourselves tonight. You know, credit to them. They had a really good game plan. They came out and they did what they had to do. But there's obviously plays that we went back, and that's going to happen over the course of every single game, this one especially. This is one game. We'll learn from this one tomorrow. Take it on the chin and, again, prepare for next week. That's all we can do. We can move forward. And again, we're 2-1. Like to be 3-0, but 2-1, you know, we can still accomplish everything we want to accomplish.
A loss like this is good medicine. You know, we get back in the lab, we'll watch this film. We'll figure out, you know, things that we did good and things that we did bad, and we'll be ready for Baltimore.
We came down here to win the game. We didn't get that done. I didn't get it done, but I'm proud of the way the guys battled, the effort they gave. We used about everybody we could on the sideline right there, and hopefully we can get some of those guys back and healthy. That was a heck of an effort. Never want to come up short. There's no ribbons for second place, and they know it. They know it. So, you know, we go back, we learn from this, and I think we did. I think we'll learn things that we're really good about today. One of those is the guts and heart and the intangibles of our football team, and I think we'll learn some things that weren't very good today.
I've seen a bunch of people pointing out that the Bills had lost a lot of starters. Well, yeah, but Miami's playing in the same heat. That to me is not a great excuse. The Bills definitely showed guts, as Sean McDermott says. And Von Miller says, hey, this is good for us. Every team learns how to be a champion by fighting through adversity. If it comes too easy, you're not ready when the postseason rolls around. This team's got heart. It's got guts. We know that to be sure. It's got strong leadership. But playing in the conditions is part of football. And the Dolphins were doing the exact same thing. And so, yes, the Bills were fighting dehydration, defections, as well as the Dolphins. Ooh, the 3 Ds. But how does Miami not deserve the credit for winning that war of attrition? The Dolphins should. They should get credit. I don't know if they're the best team in the NFL, but they are 3-0. And you are what your record says you are. So considering this game, which, by the way, far and away was your choice for after hours game of the week, who do you think is the best team in the league? You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Now, next week is the Ravens. Bills and Ravens. And that's also a load. It's also one of those tests that's going to happen, seems like weekly, in the AFC. If you're a contender, you've got to run the gauntlet in the AFC. And so the Ravens were doing the same thing on Sunday at the Patriots. And Baltimore was up by a point at halftime. There was a second quarter interception off Lamar Jackson from Jonathan Jones, and that led to a short TD drive for New England. Mac Jones actually getting into the end zone on a 3-yard rush and some kind of interesting dance. He cracks me up. I do like his personality. I know when he gets in front of a microphone, he's more like Bill Belichick, but I like his personality. He's fun. He's got a dog named Chewbacca, right? That's what we discovered from the offseason. But that put the Patriots right there and within a point at halftime. And the Patriots also do the quick turnaround. Bill Belichick loves this. If you can score late in the first half and then turn around and you've got the ball early in the third quarter and you can kind of go 1-2 punch, he feels like that can give you a leg up. And it was a quick TD to start the third quarter for the Pats. Mac Jones to Devontae Parker for a couple of really big gains. And then Damien Harris caps the drive with a touchdown. But Lamar finds a groove. And it was kind of interesting. I'll throw this in just because, even before we hear some of these highlights, Matthew Judon, who's the linebacker for the Patriots, he was asked about stopping Lamar Jackson.
We all see it in how shifty he is, the dipping and ducking. We all see it. And you respect a guy like that, and he's just slippery.
He's slippery. I love that. He's slippery.
He's just slippery.
He definitely is slippery. That's for sure. So Baltimore finds some momentum, puts together a couple of touchdown drives. Devin Duvernay with a dazzling catch. If you haven't seen that, it is worth checking out. And the defense then is able to step up too. And so this was actually a victory in which I feel like Baltimore was balanced on both sides of the ball. And on the road, at another AFC contender, a team that went to the playoffs last year, this was a big win, confidence-building win, and a win that you look back on and go, okay, that helped us get better as a team.
Lamar in the shotgun. What's the throw? Blitz pressure coming. Jackson lobs for the end zone. He's looking for Andrews. Reaches up. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Mark Andrews. Again, the I formation. Ricard in front of Hill. Jackson wants to throw off the play. Fake. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown, Oliver.
A third and goal to go just outside the 10. Jones moves up, then backs up. He sets Stevenson. Takes the snap. He backpedals. He's pressured. Throws a lob to the end zone for Parker. That ball's intercepted by Humphrey in the back corner of the end zone. So the Ravens gave it away, then they took it away.
Jackson out of the gun on third and one. Fakes the handoff. Lamar will keep it. He's got room. He's to the five. He walks in. Touchdown. Lamar Jackson with a knockout shot.
So there were a couple of really bad moments for the New England offense in the second half. Mac Jones throws an interception that leads to a Baltimore field goal. And then even after the Patriots pull within a score, what do they do? Three straight turnovers. Three straight turnovers by the Patriots to kill any hope, including Mac's second interception, Marion Humphrey in the end zone. And so Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens have way too many opportunities in this one. Not only does it take the ball out of the Patriots' hands when they give it away to their opponents with these turnovers, but you put the ball back in Lamar's hands and you're asking for trouble. And he has another dazzling performance. 218 passing yards, over 100 yards rushing, and five total touchdowns.
And been a champion.
John Harbaugh's not surprised. In fact, he doesn't even think he should have to talk about Lamar really anymore.
You know what has to tell me about Lamar Jackson. You know, I mean, I believe in him. I love him. I just believed him the first day we drafted him, the first day we talked about drafting him, you know, and felt like, you know, he could be everything he is. We're not there yet, you know, but we're on our way. And he feels the same way about the way he's playing, too.
Not going to win, turn the ball over in the fourth quarter. Now, you know, you're behind. You got to be aggressive.
Good point.
But still, those, you know, we got to do a better job than we did on those plays, for sure.
So the Patriots with four turnovers, but three of them coming there in the fourth quarter.
We don't have time for that.
They definitely do not have the time or the talent to overcome something like that. But to add injury to insult, Mac Jones getting hurt late in this game against Baltimore and will undergo an MRI on Monday to confirm what the Patriots believe, which is a high ankle sprain. Don't yet know how severe, but high ankle is what was out there from multiple sources on Sunday night. So, Bill Belichick, do you care to elaborate?
Can you share even what happened, if there was any contact on the play? I'm sorry, but they didn't show a replay before I came down. Just why Mac was limping?
No. I covered it.
So I learned this early on. I'm telling you, this is a cardinal sin if you're a reporter. Especially if you're talking to a coach or a player who can be relatively cantankerous?
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
Don't ask a yes-no question unless you want, unless you're prepared for a yes-no answer. So can we hear it again? I'm telling you, she set herself up, this reporter.
Can you share even what happened, if there was any contact on the play? I'm sorry, but they didn't show a replay before I came down. Just why Mac was limping?
No.
I'm sorry. I don't know who she is. I'm not laughing at her. Only that she set herself up. She said, can you share what happened? Was there contact? It's a yes-no question. And Coach Belichick answers with a no. That's it. Just no. Again, I'm not laughing at her, and I wouldn't identify her even if I knew who it was. I just, the fact.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
I mean, she walked right into it with Belichick. He answered her question. She said, can you share? And he said, no.
No.
He's such a turd sometimes. He really is. But, I mean, you can imagine following the end of this game, this is why the Patriots are in our Monday mortification poll. I'm not sure who else is as mortified as the New England Patriots. Not only do they lose this game, they turn the ball over three times on their last three drives, but they also lose their starting quarterback potentially. I mean, if it's me, I'm probably answering with a no as well. Oh, goodness.
No.
I mean, at least he doesn't swear. Well, not that we can hear. That's what I meant, in public. So are the Patriots waking up on this Monday with more mortification than any other team in the NFL? And honestly, if Mac Jones is out for any length of time, it could go from bad to worse.
That doesn't have anything to do with it.
You're not telling the truth now, Coach. Or is it the Chiefs? How did the Chiefs lose to the Colts? Maybe it's the Cardinals. We know how they lost to the Rams. We're packing it in. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
From the 20. It's a jet sweep. Cooper Kupp's got the edge. 20, 10. Cooper Kupp, speed to Bird. Touchdown, LA! Here comes a man in motion. It's Cooper Kupp as they take the snap. Feed Akers through the left side. Into space 10. Lowers his pads at the 5. Extends the football goal line. That should be 6. Touchdown, LA! Cam Akers from the 14 with his best run of 2020. And for the first time in 617 days, Cam Akers finds pay dirt.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams on the road for this divisional battle against the Arizona Cardinals. Remember, the Cardinals were in Las Vegas last weekend, and they stunned the Raiders. They were able to come back and win in overtime because Kyler Murray could not be contained. But it was a different week, and it looked a little different at home against the Rams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cooper Kupp with his first career rushing touchdown. Never happened before. So add that to his resume. One carry, 20 yards, one touchdown. And the Rams race out to a 13-0 lead. And really, it's the 75-yard drive that you hear with J.B. Long late in the third quarter. That's the dagger. Cam Akers is the feature back, and he caps that drive with a 14-yard touchdown run. The Rams defense only allows 4 field goals in the desert. That's it. Keeping the Cardinals 0-for-2 in the red zone. And so the ball control element to this, where they go over 100 yards rushing, both of their touchdowns are on the ground, so no Matthew Stafford touchdowns. And the pressure on Kyler Murray, the containment of Kyler Murray, spearheaded by one NFL Superman, super defensive player of the year every year.
Mino Benjamin around the left side of Murray as he takes the snap.
He gets restless. He heads out. He trips. He stumbles. A flag is down as Aaron Donald knocks him off his feet. And let's see. Incompletes. What's the ruling?
It's going to be intentional grounding, if anything, because the ball didn't get back to the line of scrimmage, and he was under duress.
Here's why I want to know if they give Donald the sack, though. It could be his 100th career, depending on how they rule this.
There is no foul in the play for intentional grounding. The quarterback's knee was down. It will be second down.
So AD99 gets career sack number 100.
I was just playing, you know, honestly just playing, and didn't think nothing of it, but obviously it's a blessing to accomplish something like that, and just to, you know, in the moment just playing a game and trying to help my team win.
Congratulations to Aaron Donald, 100 career sacks, and he's only early in his ninth season. Remember when he teased us and told us he might retire after winning a Super Bowl, but he said it was the winning and the Super Bowl that brought him back.
Give it up for Aaron Donald. What a stud. Everything.
It's heady, isn't it? That's what he said. It's powerful when you win like that as a team, when you get the ring. That pretty much tops everything else. Again, JB Long on Rams Radio. So Aaron Donald has a couple of tackles for loss to go along with that sack. And Kyler Murray throws the ball 58 times, but does not have a touchdown and wasn't able to run roughshod all over the field like he did against the Raiders last week. Different animal. The Rams get their 11th win in the last 12 games against the Cardinals in their division.
I think over the last 2 weeks, you've really seen some examples of good. And then how do we really continue to establish and finish throughout four quarters? Because we got to score more than 20 points. Obviously, I could sit up here and make some excuses, but we got to be able to finish those drives. And we're capable of it. And I believe that we will moving forward.
It's not winning football. Make it tough on ourselves. You know, it's because, I mean, you see the rest of the game is competitive. But that first quarter is just, you know, can't make it happen, can't get anything going. It's just, it's bad. It's bad football.
I don't know right now who's measuring up as the best defense in the NFL statistically, but I do know that as you look around the league, man, there are some defenses that make life miserable. As you can hear, Kyler Murray's pretty miserable. From 1 week to the next, just can't get anything going. And that's what a veteran defense like the Rams can do. And it all revolves around Aaron Donald because he occupies, if not two, then three offensive guys from the other team. One or two offensive linemen who are trying to block him, throwing a tight end, throwing a running back. I mean, they're all trying to figure out what to do with Aaron Donald, which generally gives other guys more freedom. The Bucs defense, I know they did not win against the Packers on Sunday, but think about what the Bucs have done this year. I think there were a dozen touches for both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and really neither one of them ever had a whole lot of traction. Jones actually had the ball punched away from him on the goal line. Otherwise, the Packers might have been up three touchdowns in the first half. And yeah, they had their two touchdowns early, and it really looked like nothing could slow them down until, boom, all of a sudden they run into a brick wall. That's the Bucs defense, and their rhythm disappears. So there are some really good defenses early on. I like the Bills defense. I think that's part of why they're so good. It wasn't four touchdowns in the fourth quarter that allowed Miami to rally against Buffalo. Nah, it was actually the Dolphins being gritty and physical and relentless on defense and the pressure they put on Josh Allen and all of his weapons. That game was more of a war of attrition than it was anything else. But I really like the Bills defense. And there are some others that stand out. So if I didn't mention your team, no getting upset. The Colts played some pretty stout defense in holding the Chiefs at bay long enough for Matt Ryan to bring the Colts back. So Indianapolis picks up his first win. And if I'm the Chiefs, I'm pretty mortified on Monday. That's a game the Chiefs could have won, maybe should have won. But, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda in the NFL means a whole lot of nothing. It'll buy you a bag of chips out of the vending machine. So which team is suffering from the most Monday mortification, waking up on what will be September 26th. Wow. First weekend of fall, last weekend in September. Patriots, Chiefs, Cardinals, Buccaneers. We've got more. How about the Lions? They thought they had a victory inside the NFC North. Maybe it's the Chargers. And wait a minute. Should we break up the Jaguars? Is it time? Are the Jaguars a juggernaut all of a sudden? Good stuff. From one week to the next. No idea what you're going to see in the NFL. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I don't know who the best team in the league is right now. I know there's plenty of mortification to go around. Mortification and misery. Oh, that'd be such a fun hashtag. Like I'm the Grim Reaper or something. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second down and seven, 10:38 to play. Clock turns from the 14 of the Chargers. Jags lead 6-0 and trying to extend that. Empty backfield. Trevor drops. Looking. Scrambling to the right. Still looking. Scramble. Fires to the back of the end zone. Caught in the back of the end zone. Touchdown to Zay Jones, and the Jags have extended the lead. Fourth and a half yard. Under center is Trevor. The give is to James Robinson. He's got it in more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown on fourth down. James Robinson broke loose for the score. Three right, one left. Shotgun. Rolling right is Trevor. Firing toward the end zone. That ball is going to be caught. For the touchdown, Christian Kirk made the catch, and Jacksonville has scored again.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man alive, the Chargers have got a mess on their hands, all right. Yowzers. I know we saw the Jaguars shut out the Colts in week number two. We'll get to them coming up. But the Jaguars at the Chargers, so cross country now in Los Angeles, and yet Jacksonville hits them early, hits them high, hits them low, hits them often. Do you know the Jaguars scored on four straight drives in the first half, including 10 points off turnovers? So thank you to the Chargers. They're up 16-7 at the half, and that's just a precursor. The Jags pile on in the second half. Three more touchdown drives, including a James Robinson 50-yard scamper. He goes over 100 rushing yards. Trevor Lawrence locked in with Doug Peterson as his head coach. Three touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks. He's made such a crazy leap from year one to year two. And obviously a lot of that has to do with the work he's doing in the offseason. And the fact that he's really smart, we knew that. There was very little chance that he wasn't going to get better. But under Doug Peterson, he looks like a different quarterback. As for Justin Herbert, he was grimacing, obviously in pain, dealing with the rib injury. Was a game time decision whether or not he wanted to receive a painkiller. It was all over his face. This one hurt. Every time he moved, every time he throws, and yet he was still out there chucking balls across body. I mean, he's tough for sure. The Jaguars really manhandled the Chargers in this one. And now the Jags are 2-1 and atop the AFC South. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A bunch of you are actually saying that you think the Chargers should be suffering from the most Monday mortification. And maybe that is the case. Why did Justin Herbert stay in the game as long as he did when it was really lopsided?
I just didn't want to quit on my team. You know, obviously a tough day for us, but didn't want to go out and, you know, felt like we were getting the ball out quick. So I didn't want to quit on my team.
As for Brandon Staley, he walked into the locker room and it was the players who were doing all the talking after this loss.
That's the way you want it to be, especially after a game like that. You know, all that needs to be said needs to come from them. And that's the way good teams are. There's a lot of pride in that room. And like I said, we got a lot of the right guys to be coaching. And we got a group that's still coming together. And this was just one game in the NFL. And we got to come back together and keep it moving.
You can imagine there was a lot more hooting and hollering and yelling and screaming and maybe dancing a bit in the Jaguars locker room. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence dances. He's been a champion before in his college career. He's used to playing at a very high level. Last year was humbling. It was definitely a welcome to the NFL rookie year. And yet, as he tells the NFL on CBS, this is the kind of rhythm that they can build on, that they can use moving forward.
We're playing well, obviously. We feel great. Our confidence is high. But really, it's just the ability to flip the page and do it again next week. That's what we preached last week. I think it shows a lot about the maturity of our team. Had a big win last week against the Colts. And then to come out here on the West Coast and do the same thing out here really shows that we're focused, we're ready to roll, and just proud of the guys. Defense played amazing. Offensive line. I could talk about a lot of people.
From the NFL on CBS, Trevor Lawrence. Maybe he has the, would you call him the comeback player of the year? I guess not. He wasn't non-existent last season. But man, his rookie year to his second season could be night and day. Already, it's just small sample size. And yet, as I say, the work he's put in, but certainly having Doug Peterson as his head coach has made a world of difference. Somebody wrote to me on Twitter and said, Urban Meyer deserves credit because he drafted Trevor. Please. I rolled my eyes. Are you kidding me? The owner, Shad Khan, wouldn't have allowed Urban Meyer to draft anybody else. In fact, that wasn't Urban making the draft pick. That was the Jaguars. They were always going to pick Trevor Lawrence, even before they hired Urban Meyer. But good for you, Jacksonville. Duval! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for those Colts, well, they were searching for their first win home against the Kansas City Chiefs, who hadn't yet suffered a loss. And early on, you could tell this was not going to be smooth sailing. Remember the rookie Sky Moore had a big game last week? He actually muffed a punt on the very first drive for the Chiefs. And Indianapolis is able to get an early touchdown pass from Matt Ryan to the rookie Jelani Woods. Now later, Matt has his own fumble rooski problem on fourth down, actually. And you know what the Chiefs do with mistakes. Generally, they take those short fields and they are able to turn them into quick points. And that's exactly what happened. There may not be Tyreek Hill, but there's still Travis Kelce. He has a 29-yard catch and a touchdown. And then after the second Matt Ryan fumble, stop me if you've heard this before, it's instant red zone for the Chiefs, and it's a Clyde Edwards-Helaire touchdown that puts them in front. So I'm thinking, all right, I didn't pick them in my survivor pool because this would have stressed me out, but this is what you know the Chiefs are capable of. You give them opportunities, and they're going to make you pay. Except the Chiefs only manage a field goal in the second half. That Colts defense got physical and got tough. There was a fourth down that was a failed attempt by the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. They actually missed a field goal, too, which would have put them up by a touchdown. That was a chip shot. It was barely 34 yards. So there were mistakes by the Colts. By the Chiefs. And the Colts were able to flip the script. And the way that they can control the ball with Jonathan Taylor, the way that they can keep a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines, but also wear out an opposing defense, that was in full display. In the fourth quarter, 16 plays, 76 yards. The drive goes 8 minutes and 14 seconds. That's a monster. I will say this, it was extended by Chris Jones getting a penalty flag after a third down sack. So presumably the drive would have been over, or at the very least would have been moving to fourth down. He sacks Matt Ryan and then is celebrating and gets an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. So that keeps the drive alive and gives Matt Ryan another opportunity with his Colts.
16th play of the drive, 29 seconds left. It is second and 10 to the 12-yard line. Colts down by four. Ryan backs the pass, looking, fires upfield into the end zone. It is caught. Jelani Woods, touchdown. INDY! Two touchdowns today for the rookie. And the Colts with six more on the board. They lead it 19 to 6.
17 with 24 seconds to play.
Now, 24 seconds. That's a lot, actually, for Patrick Mahomes. Matt Taylor on Colts Radio. And initially, he gets a big pass play downfield and is just outside of field goal range, maybe, theoretically. There's always adventures in kicking. As he lines up for another pass, tries to go down the middle. I think they had about 8 seconds to go, so they need something quick. But they did have a timeout. They try to get a pass play downfield, inside field goal range. It's a tipped ball, and it's intercepted by Rodney McLeod. And so for Patrick Mahomes, that offense was there in the first half and was gone in the second.
We just didn't play good enough, especially on the offensive side of the ball, starting with me. Obviously, we missed some kicks and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, we had multiple opportunities to score. So, I mean, we got to find ways to get the ball in the end zone, and that starts with me. You can't just get yards. We got to be able to get in the end zone when we're down there.
Great team win, man. What we were talking about in there a minute ago was just the ultimate team win in all three phases. We've said kind of coming into this year, that's the kind of team we feel like we have, like that we can be good in all three phases. That's what it takes to beat a team like the Kansas City Chiefs.
So Patrick Mahomes taking the loss on himself. He has 262 yards, a touchdown, but also that late interception. Now, I will say this. There were other opportunities. I'm not sure if you saw the highlight, if you could call it that. A ball that Travis Kelce catches in his sleep goes right through his hands in the end zone. So he had another touchdown catch and dropped it, and he was so angry at himself. But Matt Ryan, give him credit, 2 touchdowns, had a couple of fumbles early that hurt the team, but was able to recover and lead them on that game-winning drive. Jonathan Taylor goes over 70 yards rushing, but man, he really helps them too because he's also a load. Colts get their first win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Now you can enjoy MLB Play, the one app with all your favorite free MLB games. Enjoy Beat the Streak, Quick Pick, and more. Enjoy competing against friends. Enjoy unlocking exclusive rewards. Plus, your chance to win $5.6 million. Download MLB Play. Enjoy the app. Enjoy the show. MLB Play. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older to enter Beat the Streak, which ends at the conclusion of the MLB regular season or when the grand prize is won. Restrictions apply. See MLB.com/play for official rules.
Home to all the jaw-dropping moments. Home to all the best plays in the league. Home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.tv is the home of streaming baseball. Get your ticket to out-of-market games live or on demand across all your favorite supported devices. Home or away, you'll be able to catch all the MLB action this season and gain access to exclusive content. MLB Big Inning brings fans a special live look into the game and delivers the best highlights from games every single day.
That is out of the ballpark!
Tune in for select pre- and post-game coverage or check out new MLB originals for a deeper dive into your favorite teams and ballparks. You can even check out inning milestones, in-game details, and personalize your app for your favorite team. MLB.tv has extended their content library for more originals, like vendors and out-of-the-park films. You can find returning shows like MLB Carded, Baseball Zen, and so much more. There's no better place to never miss a moment of the action than with MLB.tv. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.tv.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get into all the Major League Baseball action with Season 2 of Play Loud, exclusively on the MLB YouTube channel. Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the game on the field and in the dugout during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Follow along and be part of the fun alongside some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season.
That is out of the ballpark!
Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto in the field or listen in on the hilarious conversation between Eduardo Escobar and Francisco Lindor in the dugout. Tune in for live reactions from players across the league with unprecedented access. Play Loud is your exclusive look into the fun of the game. You never know what you're going to see or hear. Play Loud. It's baseball like you've never watched before. Tune in for new episodes of Play Loud, only on the MLB YouTube channel.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.